When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Sam here, Muggsy there. Muggsy, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited we can link up and create a podcast about the Hornets. Like, what's even happening? This is amazing.
It's time for it. I mean, especially as I say with the climate. I mean, being able to talk about basketball, especially talking about the Hornets, is a passion for me. So having the opportunity to sit here with you and collaborate and kind of talk about all, you know, the history of the Hornets as well as what's going on currently is a blessing.
Oh, big time, big time. So I'm very excited. This is episode one on the Believe Podcast Network. And because this is our first episode, we want to do a little like housekeeping and catching up. There's been a lot of Hornets news lately. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about the previous season. We're going to talk about the offseason, that includes the draft and free agency, and then talk about preseason, because as this episode airs, the following night is the first night of the Hornets preseason. So we'll get into all that in a second. But before we do, a friendly reminder to everyone out there, if you like what you hear, please subscribe, tell a friend, leave us a rating on whatever platform you use. Like, we're everywhere. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, TuneIn. Just search Believe in Hornets. It'll be in the description, on the screen, all that good stuff. Help us out. Support the show.
Come on, tune in.
Yeah, don't miss out. getting into the meat of the podcast here. So the Hornets season ended prematurely. Like, the one we had COVID hit, they ended one win shy of a bubble invite, which was kind of heartbreaking because the team, I thought, played very well and competitive. Like, that team showed a lot of heart last year. It would have been really great to see them in the bubble, considering like what we saw out of guys like Tyler Hero and like just the teams that just really excelled on that stage. So Muggsy, so what are your overall thoughts on last season, the 19-20 Charlotte Hornets, and what we all saw as fans?
But as you just touched on it, they were playing well, you know, especially after the All-Star break. They was probably one of the best teams, had one of the best records after the All-Star break. And as you mentioned, they was one game shy of being in that bubble. And anything could have happened in the bubble. A lot of identity was created in the bubble. You know, as you just mentioned, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler resurge. I mean, so who would have known Devontae Graham would possibly been getting a lot of play by then, you know, considering being one of the most improved players during that time. So he was in the running for that. So, I mean, I was really pleased with the Hornets, the way they end the season. Didn't quit, didn't give up, fought extremely hard. And then again, you got a lot of guys who stepped up, who needed to step up in terms of how this franchise need to go forward.
Yes. I was telling people last year that weren't paying attention to the Hornets. Like, I know you're going to look at the record and be like, oh, no, but which is fair.
But superstars there too.
Yeah. So if you watch that team play, it didn't matter who they're playing against. They played up to competition. Luka Doncic, they were in his face. Giannis, in his face. They didn't back down for 1 second. And that was really rewarding as a fan, because you never left the game thinking, man, I wish our guys had their hearts in it. Because that was never in play. Like, these guys gave it their all.
And that's what you wanted. And that's what these guys needed, you know, because, again, you got to remember, they got rid of Kemba Walker. So they needed to find some sort of identity. And who was going to be that guy to step up? Devontae Graham. And like I said, he really, really stepped up and kind of showed the leadership amongst what he needed to show in terms of punt play as well as in and out the locker room. And then you had some good play from PJ Washington. No one was expecting. You know, PJ averaged 12 points in his rookie season. So that was pretty impressive. Then you had Miles. You know, Miles Bridges now start to resurge. You know, that second year under his belt, having a little being comfortable, getting a little, you know, being considered the first team rookie team. So that made a big push for him. That gave Bill his confidence. So I really was pleased. And then we can't forget about how Malik Monk was playing too. You know, he had a little stretch there that, you know, that warranted, you know, some kind of a lot of attention. So a lot of things happened, and hopefully, you know, they can continue that momentum.
Oh, big time. Yeah, he was on fire right before he got suspended. Like, he got in that starting lineup and took full advantage of it. So, like, you look at all the pieces the Hornets have and young players that they have right now and how they added to it in the offseason. So we're talking, we got really lucky, jumped up in the lottery to the third overall pick. That was amazing. And to be in a position to draft LaMelo Ball third overall. So, Muggsy, former point guard, you know a thing or two about the position. What are your thoughts on LaMelo in general and what he can bring to the Hornets?
I really do like the pick. You know, I know everybody was kind of hoping that Wiseman will fall into, you know, to that slot, and because they felt like he fit more with the guys that we already have. But who can say Melo doesn't as well? LaMelo, I mean, he brings that type of excitement as a player. I mean, because of, you know, what's been he's been faced throughout his young career, you know, playing overseas, getting that type of experience up now coming over here to the NBA and try to translate that into an NBA platform. But I think by his ability to see over top of his opponents, being a 6'7", 6'8", point guard, pass first, shoot second type of guy, he can really free up a lot of play for the guys, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, even Devontae Grant and Terry Rozier. You know, when you got shooters like that, guys who could put the ball in the basket, and Terry Rozier shot, you know, 40% behind that arc last year. So that's a big, it creates a lot of space. So Melo brings a lot to the table, even though he's a rookie. It's going to take him some time, you know, but hopefully not as long as they will need it. But I think just his presence, you know, presence that's been there, and ambiance, I think, will allow the guys to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, he has the major following, the massive following. And in any other year,
he does.
The Spectrum Center will be packed. But, you know, as we all know, the season's going to start at least with an empty building, which, you know, safety first, no arguments there.
Got to have safety first, absolutely.
But, like, the thought of when fans are allowed back in to see LaMelo and where this team is at that point is really appealing. Like, it gets me excited
because it brings back that up-tempo style, you know, the style that we played back in the early, you know, early 90s, you know, that's what it is, that up-tempo, and Melo like to push the ball, that excitement, and the fans here are used to and accustomed to that type of play, so, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And not only, we can not mention the addition to Haywood.
Yes, we'll talk about him in a second. Because there's a potential to have like an all like 6'7" lineup on the floor at the same time that could either be amazing or disaster. I have no idea, but that's what I'm here for as a fan. Like, it's gonna be it's gonna be fun no matter what.
You still got away with it for a little part. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, a portion of a season.
Yeah, for sure. Like, unless you play, there's like three guys in the league. Like, you have Jokic, you have Anthony Davis. We could put Giannis in there too. And probably Embiid, of just like the bigs that are going to tear up whoever they're playing against. So you might as well, unless you have one of those guys, you might as well kind of lean into the positionless basketball effort that JB's talking about in the preseason. So a lot of potential with PJ playing the five. We'll get into all that later. I'm getting off. Getting too excited. I'm very excited to see PJ at the five, by the way. So with the draft, though, the Hornets left draft night with three other rookies as well, Vernon Carey Jr., Nick Richards, and Grant Riller. What do you think about just those pieces coming into the fold, either in the short term or long term?
Well, I like the pieces. I mean, we already talked about LaMelo, what he brings to the table with Garney. You know, he kind of fit that mold with PJ and Miles in that regards. But, you know, lefty versatility, you know, possibly could be able to, you know, create some type of space down there and get some comfortability of shooting that shot 15 foot on end. And then with Nick Richards, you know, hopefully he can bring some kind of, you know, inside presence, you know, shot blocking. You know, he averaged 2.1 in the college, so hopefully he can be able to translate that into the NBA, and they need that. You know, we need a defender, a middle defender, you know, Biz Biyombo, who does the best as he can by doing so, as well as Cody Zeller. But I think having a guy in the middle who can protect the rim will really benefit these guys in getting out and transition a lot earlier.
Yeah, and Riller's stats in college are amazing. Like, if he was 19 and played at like at a major university, he would have been a first-round draft pick, like, with those numbers. So I think that's a steal at that position, at that spot in the draft, and his position overall, like, could be really useful for the club.
There's always a diamond in the rough somewhere out there, so hopefully we found it.
Yeah. looking at free agency, the team said goodbye to Dwayne Bacon, Ray Spalding, and Nick Batum. Bismack Biyombo is returning on a one-year deal. And the big man, Gordon Hayward, 4 years, $120 million. What do you think about Gordon Hayward in general and what he could bring to Charlotte? I know there's a lot of – I see it as a fan and see that $120 million, like $30 million roughly for 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. Yeah. It's like a quarter of the cap committed to him, yeah, especially after the team just got out of large contracts. With Batum, mm-hmm, specifically. So just in general, what do you think of the move, what he could bring to the Hornets? And are you excited to see him in town?
I am excited to see him in town. I know they tried to get him, you know, when he came from Utah before he went to Boston, and that didn't pan out. And now that, you know, he had some years put on him and injuries as well, and folks were kind of concerned about, you know, the Hornets giving him this type of money, you know, at this particular time, is kind of a little concerning. Especially what you just alluded to, getting rid of a lot of the other contracts and trying to free up some cap space. But I think it's still, you know, give them a little room, Nicholas Batum off the books. So that kind of gave them a little flexibility. But I like the pick because that's a veteran. And they needed a veteran to come in to not kind of overshadow and the youth and kind of not allow the young guys continue that growth. They need someone to come in just to fit the mold and allow them guys to continue to perform as they have been. And he can put the ball in the basket. He can create his own shot. And he's a veteran who's been around, who has that type of understanding of what to do and what the do's and don't on and off the court. And I think these guys need somebody like that, as opposed to someone that's more dominant and more aggressive, you know, that in-your-face type of situation. He's more of a laid-back, you know, voiceful now because he's older in terms about what type of leadership he need to display. But I think it fits good for them because, again, you know, the culture here in Charlotte and with the players that's going to be around them, I think that's going to be some exciting times with Melo pushing it and he can spread the floor. So I'm looking forward to it. Again, up-tempo basketball.
Yes, yes, for sure. Like, he's been an all-star. That's more than you can say about a lot of the guys on the team presently. Like, he has a resume. He's done it. He's been in the playoffs. Like, That matters, especially when you have such a young team. They can learn so much from him. And he seems to be like really willing to like be here and make the most of it. And that's reassuring. Like, listen to his welcome interviews and like that. Like, okay, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for Gordon Hayward to be here because this team needs an ace. We have a lot of good players, but no ace. Like, we've seen flashes at times, but right. like there's, where's the hierarchy, right? Like, is Devontae an ace, or is he more of a second, or is he third? Like, Gordon Hayward's arrival, in the short term at least, he's our ace, and I'm really good with that because it means you know you don't have to rely so much on PJ, Miles, Devontae, because Gordon's in town.
Well, you know, you put as that ace, you know, putting who's at first, but I like to look at it as, you know, collectively. You know, these guys are going to really have to do the job collectively because we don't have that one star. We don't have that guy who just go take over the game. We got a bunch of good guys who really can complement one another, and that can translate to a lot of wins, especially with the chemistry and everybody buys into JB's philosophy, in which I think they are and which I think they will. And that's going to be the exciting part. And what Hayward brings and what Devontae, you know, if he can continue, you know, the play that he had last year and bring a little that more of a out the gate type of performance. You know, that's what they're going to really need, because, you know, you want to get out early because you want to try to establish yourself. A lot of teams may kind of rest some of their veterans, you know, because of starting the season up so shortly. So you want to kind of get a little cushion coming out the gate to try to, you know, set the tone early, as opposed to trying to find yourself after those 20 games, which a lot of teams normally do.
Yeah, there's very low room for error with the shortened season. And it's going to be really, really interesting. Like, we really toss out any of the stereotypes or norms we're used to seeing going into the regular season, because we don't know. We don't know what this looks like. And at any point, you know, like, some there could be a shutdown or a player is unavailable. Like, there's so many variables at play, and it just adds more just variables and interesting wrinkles into this really continued season. NBA season.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging, but by no means, it's going to be challenging. The team's going to have to do a great job of making sure the guys follow the protocol, you know, making sure they continue to follow the protocol. I think they set it up in terms of when they're home and even when they're on the road, you know, they can't go out and do certain things. And that's going to be the key, how well each team manage those protocols to keep everybody safe and soundly, so we can continue to move on and have the right player and everybody, you know, available to win game time, because it's going to be so important.
Yep. And also, as a fan, it's great to have basketball back, because, you know, it's entertainment at the end of the day, you know, and live, like, investment, like television it's powerful, and it's a good escape from the bad stuff that's going on in the world. So glad the NBA is coming back. I missed you.
Yeah. I mean, get to see your favorite players, you know, run up and down and perform, get to root on your favorite team. So that's exciting. I'm glad that it's coming back, and I'm glad that we're able to find a way to do it and do it safely, and where you still can be able to enjoy it. And I know Commissioner and the players understand the importance of it, and they want to get back to it, because eventually, you know, we're going to have fans back in the arena. But it's just happy and grateful that we're able to play in our own arena now, as opposed to playing in a bubble.
Right. Yep. So speaking of playing in our own arena, preseason starts tomorrow as everyone's listening to this. So, you know, you're – in your experience going into the preseason, what's your mentality as a player? The season ends, you get the rest and recover. You also have time to work on your game a bit. Are you looking to go into the preseason trying to test some the stuff you've been working on out? Or just trying to get acclimated to your new teammates? Like, what can you talk about just the overall mindset of an NBA player going into the preseason? Like, what are you trying to accomplish and that type of thing?
Well, you know, a normal season will end in June, and so you have that 6 months time in terms of a preparation. But just even now, just the fact of when a player season is over, I mean, of course, you got to let your body shut down. You got to give it that time to rest, because your body been through so much, and you got to let your body speak to you. But doing round and round, because for us, you know, preseason or training camp started in October. So, you know, I always give myself 2 months prior into going into the season. I shut it down for the 2-3 months, and then the next 2 months before the season start, I start preparing myself, getting ready for training camp. You know, our training camp was, you know, a little longer than it is today. We had a lot more. We had 8 preseason games as opposed to, you know, the less preseason game they have now. And also we was in training camp for 2 weeks as opposed to less. So a lot of things, you know, are a little different, but still, your body go through the same process. You know, you got to prepare the things that you're trying to, you know, work on skill wise, you know, trying to, you know, seeing what we're going to try to improve coming back for the next season. So that's where the mind is. And then once you get into training camp, there's nothing assimilates training camp but training camp. So all the things that you're trying to prepare for, it never is the same once you get in training camp. And that's where, you know, the process starts. And that's where the dreams and the goals and the aspiration with the teammates and that thing take place.
Yeah, and these guys had a long time to think about it with this long layoff. And so I'm really curious Saturday night to see, like, How's everyone looking? I haven't seen these guys outside of Instagram in months. So like, who has new tattoos? Who has a new haircut? Like, all of that is gonna be part of it. So I'm very excited. Very excited. Well, I mean,
that's the we'll trend.
What's that?
I say that's the trend. You know, they're always gonna find something that's innovative that they can kind of create, you know, especially off season.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's our first episode in the books. How you feel?
That was awesome. That was good. You know, we can have some fun with this. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, so next time, I like that. Yeah, next time you guys hear us, we'll be talking about some actual basketball, which is super exciting.
Yes.
But that's for next week. We got to get to next week. So make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening to. Check us out on YouTube. That's where you can find the video here. But yeah, like this is, you're listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast and the Believe Podcast Network. Appreciate you coming through and checking us out, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Tune in, guys. Check us out, because it's going to be exciting all season long. Insight. Get smarter. Come on. Get it smarter when you tune in.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.